Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're going to discover choosing a life of commitment to Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Here's Paul Chapel.
So God wants us to humble ourselves and to come to Him and say, Lord, I want to commit my life to You. I want to commit my burdens and my trials to You. Sometimes we hesitate because of fear. You know, we're just afraid to trust God. We're just afraid that maybe He might let us down. I heard about a man that fell off of a cliff, and the cliff was about 500 feet from the top to the bottom of the canyon. And as he was going down that cliff, surely to die, he grabbed hold of a limb, and there he was about halfway down, holding on to that limb for dear life. He was shaking and holding on there. He began to cry out saying, somebody help, somebody help. After a little while, he heard the voice of God from heaven, and the voice said, trust me, let go, and I will catch you. Well, the fellow looked down at the canyon. He looked back up at the sky, and he said, is there anyone else up there? You see, that's how we are sometimes. God is the last resort. If there's no one else to help us, then we'll go ahead and cry out to God because we fear that God may not be able to help us. Many people fear that a life of commitment to Christ would mean somehow that they would be controlled in a way that they don't desire. No one is going to control them. No church is going to control them. No one's going to tell them what to do. But in many cases, these people are already being controlled. They're being controlled by their own fears, by the opinions of others, by their own hang-ups, by the hatred that they have from circumstances in the past, and so forth. And the fact of the matter is today that many people have allowed their hurts to become hates. And I want you to recognize something this morning. The truth of the matter when it comes to this matter of freedom is that freedom is choosing who controls you. Freedom is choosing who controls you. And when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you are in essence saying, Lord, my life is yours to control. We call it lordship. My friend, we don't need to be controlled by some other entity. But we do need to desire as Christians to be controlled or led by the Holy Spirit of God. And if that sounds strange to you, then what I'm preaching is just basic Bible truth about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Many times we say, we don't want to be controlled by this or that, but in reality, we don't even want the Lord to control our lives. And the fact of the matter is today, when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we are finally free to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what a joy it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be following His word. And so we see today some people never trust God because they're afraid of what God might do to them. They're afraid of how God's word might dictate to their life where they should go. Then we notice in the Word of God, Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. My friend, when you and I are confidently trusting in Christ, there's no need for fear. There's no need for a defensive posture. We can trust Him when He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we thank God for His promise. Now, some people fear because of, or some people hesitate because of fear. Others hesitate because of worry, because of worry. Now, worry is fear's extravagance. It extracts interest on trouble before it comes due. And we see many people caught up in a lifestyle of worry. It constantly drains from them the energy that God's giving to them to sustain them through this life. And many people confuse the decision-making process with the matter of the problem-solving process. In other words, they want to solve all the problems before they make the decision, you see. They want to see all the answers before they make the decision. But that's the opposite of the Christian life. You see, God wants us to follow His word by faith, and then He will solve all of the problems. And since some people spend all their time trying to solve the problem before they take that step of faith, they are really bound by worry, and they are missing out on the blessings of God for their life. Some years ago, my wife was counseling a young lady, and she had grown up in a family with tremendous problems with abuse and neglect. And because of that, she had really longed for acceptance from people, and she feared rejection from people. And in her developmental years and as a young adult, she really became a people pleaser, and she found herself being used and abused from one relationship to the next relationship. She just wanted someone to accept her, and she feared the thought that anyone would ever reject her. And her worry over rejection had caused her to fail in every relationship. She was involved in a self-destructive pattern because of that worry of being rejected, because of that fear of not being accepted. She was going from one abusive relationship to the next abusive relationship. And yet when she found the truth of the scripture, 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When she realized that she was accepted in the Beloved and that she could stand on the merits of Christ before an almighty God, it revolutionized her life. No longer did she need to turn to an abusive situation to find some form of acceptance. Now she found it in Christ, and her life was changed when she stopped worrying and committed her life and trusted her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. One exasperated husband was talking to his wife about the matter of worry. He said, why are you always worrying? He said, it doesn't do you any good anyways. And she quickly said back to him, oh, yes, it does. Did you know that 90% of the things I worry about never happen? Now, folks, sometimes we might think we're helping the situation by worrying, but in reality, worrying is the opposite of committing our lives to the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people involve themselves in pride, and some in fear, and some in worry. Some people hesitate because of doubt. They hesitate to trust Christ because of doubt in their heart and in their mind. Many attend our church every week, and they're glad to be here. They like you. They like me. They're not obnoxious about anything. They just are skeptical. We live in a skeptical day. Skeptical of church, God, the Bible, Christians, pastors, evangelists. Just a skeptical day. And because of that doubt, many times the real blessings of the Word of God in the Christian life are missed out on. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And yet many people want to see everything and want to feel that they're in control of their own situation. I've even known many people who have grown up in Christian homes, in homes where there were rules but no relationships. And I've seen somehow that these folks who never seemed to know what they felt in the way of acceptance, they never felt they were accepted. Even growing up in Christian homes, they began to seek that acceptance in various forms of silliness and sin. And the matter of needing acceptance oftentimes created in their lives a form of codependency where they just constantly needed the approval of others. I'm not talking about an alcoholic or sexual abuse. I'm talking about people who grew up in Christian homes, but because of the rules without relationships, because of not enough nurturing and relationships in the Christian sense, they began to seek the approval of others. And I have faces in my memory right now that I can think of, people that I love who just got caught up in seeking the approval of others rather than finding it in Christ. Some tried humor as their way to get attention. You know, they always had to be the funny guy. And they doubted that God could really give them what they needed, so they tried to be the funny guy to get what they needed from others. Some tried humor, and some that I know tried drinking and drugs. And they thought that if they could loosen up a little bit, they could be the life of the party, and people would really like them. They doubted that God could provide that, so they found a way to try to do it on their own. Some that I know tried immoral relationships, and somehow through those relationships they felt a sense of belonging and acceptance and a sense of conquering something or someone, and that codependency revealed itself into an immoral relationship. They doubted that God could provide that for them, so they went out looking for it in other places. Now the ones that I know who are doing well today are the ones who have repented of those sins, who have turned from the silliness, who have turned from the sin, and who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, and they have moved past doubt. They have moved past worry and fear, and by faith they have come into a deeper relationship with Christ, and they have discovered that they can recover through Christ over these patterns of the past, and they can know victory through Christ in this day. And so we see this morning the invitation of Christ. He says, "Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me." But we also see that people seem to hesitate and our pride gets in the way. And we say, "Well, no, I can handle it. I've got my situation under control." And we see the hesitation of so many. But notice thirdly this morning, the emancipation of faith. What happens when Jesus says, "Come unto me," and someone by faith says, "I'm coming, Lord"? What takes place in their life? And I want you to see the emancipation of faith. Now, the word emancipate means to set free from bondage. And that's what Christian recovery is all about, to set free from bondage. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I want you to see how each one of us today can be emancipated by faith. First of all, there is faith in Christ as our Savior. Faith in Christ as our Savior. You see, we will not truly know what freedom from sin is until we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we will not accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior until we repent of our own sin and unworthiness and ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives. My friend, it is a very important truth that we must understand this morning. We cannot save ourselves. You can try to control every person and every situation in your life, but there is one thing that you cannot control on your own, and that is your own eternal destiny. That is something that is totally dependent upon the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And in order to be saved, in order to have Jesus as your Savior, you must come to Him and say, "Lord, I realize that I am a sinner, and I come to You today and ask You to be my Savior. I ask You by faith and based upon Your grace to save me." And when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, they are instantly emancipated from the guilt of sin, and they are emancipated from hell, and they are given a home in heaven for all of eternity. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 speaks of it in these terms: "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You see, we're not saved because of our good works. We're saved because of the mercy of God. And when the Holy Spirit touches your heart and shows you that as a sinner, you need a Savior, Jesus Christ, don't hesitate, my friend, to hear the words, come unto me. And when Jesus is speaking to you to trust him as Savior, then by faith call out to him and he will save you from your sin. This is where recovery truly begins. For those who've never received Christ as Savior, you can go through 12 steps and 10 steps and 25 steps, and you can get up in the morning every day and look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you're a good guy. But until you receive Christ as your Savior, you have not begun to recover. You can't do it by yourself. It is totally and utterly the gift of God Almighty. And so salvation is by grace and through faith. One of the great stories of that I've seen in my life about, I don't know, several years ago, 15 or so years ago, in Northern California, I went to visit a man. And as I went into his home, his name was Dennis, and I walked in and had some small talk at first, then sat down in his living room, and I asked him, I said, Dennis, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know that you have a home in heaven someday? And Dennis said, you know, I'm not really sure that I can answer in the affirmative to those questions. I said, well, could I show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your home? He said, sure. And after about 30 minutes or so, we went through what we sometimes call the Romans Road to Salvation. Scriptures from the book of Romans that show us how we can know that Jesus is our Savior. After about 30 minutes or so, Dennis bowed his head and closed his eyes, and he asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. After he got done praying, I shared a few more verses with him from 1 John chapter 5, explaining that once we are saved, that it's a settled issue and that we are in the hands of God permanently. And I explained to him how that God loves him, seals that decision, and accepts him based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I was getting ready to leave the house, and Dennis said to me, he said, just one minute, he said, now that I have God in my life, he said, I think there's some things that maybe I shouldn't have in my life. And he said, I've got something I need to have your help to take care of. I said, all right, that'll be fine. He goes to a back room. He comes back out a minute later with a shoebox in his hand. I thought, well, this is strange. I wonder what he has in mind here. He said, with God now in my life, I don't think I need these things in my life. He gave me the shoebox. I looked inside the shoebox. There were various kinds of pills and little bags, and there was marijuana, and there was a pipe in there, and all these different types of drugs and drug paraphernalia. And he said, I don't want this in my life anymore. And God's Holy Spirit was already convicting his heart, you see. He was already recognizing that he was a new creature in Christ. And so he said, I'd appreciate it if you'd take this and help me. I don't want this in my life anymore. And I said, that'd be fine. And so I stepped out on his front porch. I had my King James Bible under one arm and a box of drugs under the other arm. And it was right about then I thought, my soul, what am I doing? Man, I went to the car as fast as I could. I put the Bible down. I put the drugs down next to it. I thought, what if I get pulled over by the police for speeding? I can see the headlines now. Baptist preacher arrested for drug trafficking. I could hear all the other Christians in the valley, you know. I knew there was something with that church. I just knew there was something, and so forth. I thought, man, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of this. And I went to a 7-Eleven store. I looked around, make sure there was no police around there, and make sure it looked pretty good. And I went behind the 7-Eleven store. There's a big dumpster back there, and I jumped out of it as quick as I could and threw the drugs in the trash can and went on back to the church. But I'm going to tell you something. It was a great day to see in this man's life that when he trusted Christ as his Savior, he had a new awareness of sin, and he desired to go on as a new creature for Jesus Christ. And you see, we need Christ as our Savior, and we must put faith in Christ if we will truly be saved the Bible way. Secondly, we must put faith in God's Word as our guide. Faith in God's Word as our guide. The Word of God produces faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My friend, this is not a matter of how long you've been saved, the matter of Christian maturity. The matter of really committing our life to Christ must be a daily commitment. And we must daily come to the Word of God and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I ask you to help me in this process of sanctification, that my faith may continue to develop. The Word of God will guide us in that way. Psalm 119, verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The more we read the Word of God, the more we will love righteousness and hate wickedness. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's why as Christians, we believe that our counseling and the guidance for our lives that helps us to make decisions should come from the Word of God, not from secular counsel primarily, not from an unsaved man's opinion, but from the Word of God. How does God's Word speak to the issue that I am currently contemplating? I must have faith in Christ for salvation. I must have faith in God's Word for my guide. And thirdly, I must have faith in God's power for my strength. I must have faith in God's power for my strength. You know, I love our Saturday night prayer meeting with the men. One of the things we do in here on Saturday night is we just openly confess to the Lord, Lord, without you, we can't do it. Without you, no one's going to feel conviction. No one's going to know what recovery is. No one's going to come to Christ as Savior. And we acknowledge to the Lord that we need His power and we need His strength day by day. Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things, but how? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. One preacher told me years ago, he said, you know, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond or react to those situations in our lives. And I want to submit to you that if we will respond according to the power of the Word of God, we will experience victory. For there is victory in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is victory in the Word of God. And so, my friend, this morning, there is no question that God is offering to the entire world today an invitation. In a moment, we'll give an invitation like we do at the end of every service. But you know, it's not my invitation. It's not even this church's invitation. It is really the extension of the invitation of Jesus Christ, who says, come unto me, all ye that are weary, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, come, and I will give you rest. But the question is, will you accept the invitation? Salvation is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Freedom from bondage is a choice. Some people that I know choose hatred. They choose bitterness. They choose to remain bitter and hurtful in their spirit towards someone. It's their choice to remain there, towards a spouse, towards a friend, towards someone they once knew. But my friend, Jesus says, come unto me. And if you need to come to Him for salvation, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. But we must stop hesitating. We must step past our pride, step past our fear, step past our worry, step past our doubt. And we must come to the place of faith in the Lord, faith in the Word of God, and say, I choose to come to you today, Lord. I choose to cast my burdens to you. And when you do, He will give you rest. And may God grant us the grace to experience a life of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chapel and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chapel with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.